I also need to really say that our collaboration with the Intergroup and Edith Perez in particular has been really very rewarding. We have all been working very hard because we take care of these patients ourselves. We see these patients, you know. I mean, I know this is not a usual point of discussion for you, but, you know, one of the patients that I take care of in the trial lives 2 hours away from Lexington, and she had 25 positive nodes, and she's a young woman with an 11-year-old son. And, you know, I had talked with her about being in the trial. I said, you know, we don't really have any information about how well this would work, but it's a clinical trial that's really worthwhile thinking about. And she said, you know, my car will never make it every week for this treatment if I get into that group. And so I said, well, can somebody bring you, you know, from your family? She lived 2 hours away. She called me up the next day and she said, I called my father in Texas. He bought me a new car.
Hmm.
So she came every week. It was 3 years ago. I enrolled her in the protocol. And she's still disease-free with 25 positive nodes.
I'm gathering she was in the trastuzumab arm.
She was in the trastuzumab arm, right.
You know, that brings up another issue, because for years, research leaders have been telling me and really trying to tell oncologists through me, don't put patients with adjuvant trastuzumab off study. We got burned by stem cell transplantation, mm-hmm. et cetera. But now, you know, you think about a patient like this who either didn't go on the study or got randomized to the control arm. A lot of patients like that maybe got treated off study, and a lot of them didn't. Do you think it's going to cause us to rethink how quickly we adapt a new therapy?
I still believe in my heart of hearts that it is best. You know, there were patients who died from bone marrow transplant that didn't have to. And I really very, very firmly believe that we should get data first before we embark on things, especially things that we don't really have evidence about how well it's going to work. We didn't know that this is going to work this well. This surprised us that it worked this well. We were looking for an absolute difference in disease-free survival. It was powered for 5% absolute difference in disease-free survival, which is a relative risk reduction of 25%. So, you know, the fact that it worked much better than that, we haven't seen this in breast cancer in a long, long, long time, maybe ever. So I feel very, very strongly that when these kind of issues are up for consideration, they really should be done within the context of clinical trials.
Although, you know, again, when I was sitting there watching those data today, I was thinking about, as you said, have we ever seen anything like this before?
These data really have changed the landscape in terms of HER2-positive disease, and I think it's going to change prognosis for these patients from a variant of breast cancer that was always very, very concerning to maybe a breast cancer now that when it's diagnosed will say, oh, you have HER2-positive breast cancer, your prognosis is going to be good. That is going to be an emotional adjustment for us to think about it in those terms.